This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Odyssey app and use the coming in hotline. It's right next to the listen live button when you favorite the fan. It's easy. And you get it in, it's a snippet, and then you can go ahead and do it. Don't cuss because we're just not going to play it on the air. So don't be cussing.
Also, be good.
Yeah, don't be good
just,
too.
Don't just, there's a few of you out there that just go on there to say things, I don't want to listen to you just talk about your life.
Yeah, I'm not the one who gets them first. Owen gets them first. You got to go through Owen. Yeah.
Be good.
There was a radio show host who once said, have a take and don't suck.
That's right.
Oh, that's good. We should use that.
Yeah, we should do that. That should be our catchphrase.
There is not a day that goes by where I don't hear now the main thing is the main thing from somebody. So
yep.
I don't know if it's something that we
just didn't notice.
Yeah, we didn't notice. Or if now there's a proliferation where people who don't have a lot of interesting things to say to begin with have now defaulted to that because they've heard it.
Yes. Well, you're saying that Deshaun Watson and all those guys aren't interesting to say?
Oh, I think they are the least interesting people during their press conferences. And so you're going to default to something even less interesting.
I think some Browns fans were pretty damn interested in that press conference yesterday. I disagree with you.
You think Deshaun Watson's press conferences are that interesting?
Right now, I think they're must-listen.
The only reason that yesterday was a must-listen is because we wanted an answer.
Damn it, I'm trying to talk Guardians.
He kind of talked into his way into confusing people even more on that play.
Yeah, and that's why they're must-listen.
But I don't
because
think...
He doesn't just... Damn it, I'm trying to talk Guardians. But he doesn't just say what probably could be said is where, hey, man, Mr. Reed there, whatever. Like, it happens.
I mean, I think...
It does happen. Things happen all the time.
I think you're mostly getting cliches out of the guy. When he was flat out asked specifically about something,
saying the things that are decoys and that he doesn't care what the fans think about him is not cliche.
I think Deshaun Watson has been a cliche machine since he has been in Cleveland.
There's been a lot of them, yes, but I just totally disagree with you. I think it's must listen.
You think he has given you a lot of relatable or interesting or funny or poignant conversations in a press in the press conference? I think he's given you the exact opposite of that stuff.
But,
and just yesterday, because he couldn't explain the play very well. In fact, he even confused people that even more so on some of the stuff he was saying. That he almost fell backwards into. But I'm talking interesting. You know, right now, you're like David Njoku, he is interesting when he talks. Myles Garrett is interesting when he talks. I don't think anybody's using the term interesting to describe anything you're getting from Watson right now.
I just totally disagree because of the subject matter.
Tell me all the interesting things you've heard from Deshaun Watson.
I just told you what he said yesterday.
No, yeah, but that,
I'm not getting in a fight with you over him.
That
Fine.
Was more of a screw-up.
Yeah, you win. I don't care.
That wasn't a...
But if it's a screw-up, you can't say it's not interesting.
Haven't you yourself said that Deshaun
we
has
a... We got 40 solid minutes out of him calling a guy a decoy. Don't tell me what he said. It wasn't interesting. It was interesting stuff.
I think he fell back asswards into something interesting because he couldn't communicate.
So many things
and so
happen
is,
when they fall back asswards into something
you
interesting.
You haven't... Kind of agreed with me that he has had a lot of trouble trying to talk to Browns fans and being a normal human being.
Yeah, of course.
That's all I'm talking about.
That in itself is interesting. But we're splitting hairs.
I think you're just trying to win an argument right now, and you're not.
I wasn't even trying to have the argument, Anthony.
Right. That's why
Jesus.
I think you started disagreeing with me loudly felt like you needed to back it up.
I don't need
when
to back anything
agreed,
up.
You've agreed
why,
with me.
Why are you arguing with me? Why am I all of a sudden getting the third degree over here?
Because you've agreed with me that he's been a cliche machine, and then all of a sudden today, no, he's really interesting.
No, I said he's been interesting. Those things that he's had to say over the last couple, when he's sitting there dropping F-bombs in a press conference about not caring what people think about it. Yeah, you know what? That's pretty interesting stuff. That's interesting. excuse me for being interested in what the quarterback had to say or not say. Lord almighty. Why am I getting yelled at?
You're not. It's just you've agreed with me all the time.
I wanted to talk about the Guardians.
You felt he was a poor messenger for a lot of the stuff that was going on. And then now you're making it sound like he's must listen. I don't think he is.
I disagree.
I think he's been kind of boring.
I need to hear answers.
I think as a leader of a team and a quarterback, I think part of the problem that a lot of people have had with Deshaun is they aren't grasped. Like Baker, okay? Baker was controversial, but he was interesting. I don't think you're getting interesting out of Deshaun very often at all.
Okay. You win. For the sake of moving on. Man, I'm interested in hearing the answers that he has to give. It's interesting. Can we go over the by the way, the previous audio was brought to you by Bally Sports. Do we have the audio here again? Can we reset this, please? Please, Owen.
No, you wallow in this.
No, I don't want to wallow in this.
Here's the bunt.
Thank you.
Bally's
Thank
Cleveland.
You.
Little bunt attempt. Heron grabs it, fires it, not in time, and that'll be the first hit of the night, and listen to the boos.
I'm sorry, the disgust in his voice. I had to think about it. I was perplexed yesterday and this morning before I got it. And honestly, even at 6 o'clock, I was still like, which way do I want to go with this? Because I know if it happened to us and it kind of sucks, but if I was on the other team, or if I was a fan of like the Reds, God forbid, Judas Priest, if I were a fan of the Reds, I would be wanting to wreck it because I want to win no matter what. And honestly, if I were a fan of the Reds, now you brought this up too, I would be really upset about what they did with the Cincinnati and Kentucky AI stuff. I'm not upset as a fan of the Guardians, and I'm not even upset as a person who was hoodwinked by that, and very publicly so. But if I were a Reds fan, I would have been upset with that, and I would have been trying to stick it to them no matter what. It's very petty, but it's true. I do believe, though, that you're down 2-0. I don't believe that there's any unwritten rules against laying down a bunt to try to get back into this baseball game that you're technically already into.
Maybe because they're unwritten. I have nothing to refer to, but my whole life, bunting to get out of either a perfect game or no-hitter was always seen as the coward's way out.
But life has changed. Life has changed since then.
It's also the leadoff guy who's a lefty going against a lefty pitcher. He does not, that's not a great matchup for the batter. He's the leadoff guy. But if there's a guy you think's going to bunt for the team, it's probably the leadoff guy, right?
I don't understand, though, and you're right about this, Owen, but I also don't understand, though, like when you bring up unwritten rules, okay, they're not written down, so none of us can really refer to any of them, but let me go with you a step further. Did you or did you not support pimping home runs?
Yes, always.
Because my answer was, if you want to sit there and tell me not to show up the pitcher, have the pitcher throw better pitches, or you can go out there and be a headhunter if you want to. People weren't pimping home runs off of Bob Gibson. They knew he'd probably walk off the mound and try to fist fight you right there. So you can go ahead and do whatever you want to, but if you give up a home run and that guy decides that he's going to pip that home run and do the Jose Bautista and throw the bat into the third row, basically, go right on ahead. Okay, well, I can't just pick and choose unwritten rules. They either all go out the window or they all stay because we don't know what they are. So I can't pick and choose unwritten rules when they're not written down.
Yeah, this one feels different, though. This one feels like when history is on the line, especially, I mean, Reds are going nowhere. Their wins and losses don't matter to even Reds fans right now. They don't care. They've been so humiliated anyway. They've been swept 11 times now on the season. It's been a total disappointment. They fired their manager. And I don't know, do you want, if you're a Reds fan, do you want to see somebody like that? So who was it that broke it up? Was it TJ Friedl?
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
I don't know. He's 29 years old. He's barely played, you know, in the majors. But do you want to see guys like that working on their bunting, or would you like to see them? Would you like to see them
working
break
on anything?
And if you had your choice, would you rather see your guy break up a no-hitter with a bunt or with a hit?
Oh, you'd rather see him break it up with a hit,
right?
Because I think people.
So
people
who's
don't like
celebrating breaking it up with a bunt?
I don't think anybody's celebrating anything.
Option.
They aren't celebrating anything. But I want my favorite team to try to win. They're paid professionals, and their job is to try to win the baseball game and be entertaining while doing it. Well, here we are. We're pretty entertained by all this. And it wasn't if we were even going to go past the unwritten rules of it, it wasn't even a single man like Tanner Bibee's out there working in the seventh perfect game. They were on the fifth pitcher, the Guardians were. I think it's if they would have completed a perfect game, it would have been a conversation. It wouldn't have been celebrated. It wouldn't have led sport. I don't think it would have led SportsCenter. I haven't watched SportsCenter in a while, so I can't even reference that. It wouldn't have led SportsCenter. it's a novelty if there's a bunch of pitchers that contribute to a perfect game. If it were a Len Barker-style perfect game, yeah, I might be a little bit irritated. But also, it's a 2-0 game. And they're trying to win. They're professionals, and their day is going to be better if they try to win. The only thing they have left to do is to try to win at the end of the season. You don't want to just go out there and get rolled over and let the other team do it. You do have your personal pride as a competitor, do you not?
That's the thing. I think personal pride goes out the window when your team is not in the hunt and you're not out there swinging away. I think if you have to try
to... But you've never had personal pride, so I can't really...
If you have to bunt in that situation... I mean, you heard the fans. You heard how disgusted Matt Underwood was. Those are all baseball fans. Those are all diehards going to a game on, you know, a random Wednesday. Those are baseball diehards. Those are people that they grew up thinking that if you bunt to break up a no-hitter or a perfect game...
Wait a minute. There's 25,800 people that game. They're all hardcore Bob Okrent. Dan Okrent,
season ticket holders.
It was said 25,000.
Ridiculous.
It was probably half that yesterday.
Yeah, that is so ridiculous.
If you think there were 25,000 people there, you need to get your eyes checked.
That was the announcement.
They're all just going. That's the unwritten rule, guys.
You can hear it. I mean, listen to the booze.
I saw the attendance.
Have ears. Listen to it.
I saw the attendance at the stadium every bit as clearly as Deshaun Watson sees the field. There were 25,800 people at the ballpark last night. Of course they booed. It's a novelty. They would have got to see a perfect game by all the Guardians pitchers. So, yeah, of course they boo. They're fans. We boo. It's what we do.
Put yourself into a Reds
perspective. You're trying to win a baseball game.
Going forward.
It was 2-0.
You think that's the way that all the no-hitters should be broken up?
Not all of them.
Which ones, then? Explain to me which ones.
I don't think that Josh Naylor should go up there and try to lay down a bunt, Anthony. I don't think that you're taking this and taking it to a really kind of a dumb level. As I don't think that guys who can't bunt should try to bunt to break up a no-hitter. That's silly. But if you're good at bunting and it's a 2-0 game and you're a professional trying to either pad a stat, which they do, try to win a game, which they're paid to try to do, and you have personal pride, which they're all supposed to have, yeah, lay down a bunt. It's 2-0. You're trying to get back in the game. And by the way, the guy scored later in the inning. It was 2-1 at the end of the inning.
While Tito was our manager, all people did was get upset anytime he had somebody bunting. And that wasn't even a breakup, a no-hitter, a perfect game.
But now you're arguing bunting, in the situation.
But that's what I'm saying. If it was, and we've always known, let's not act like we don't have the commonality of understanding how baseball has worked all these years, that we don't want bunting to try to make that mistake.
Just because we have commonality doesn't mean you can conflate the argument about breaking up a perfect game.
Hold on. Now when Tito was managing, we didn't like bunting under any circumstances, but now we especially love bunting when it's against us, when a no-hitter, perfect game is on the line.
I don't
love
it.
I think that's absurd.
I don't love it. I never said I loved it. I defend the reason for doing it because it's a 2-0 baseball game and they were trying to get back into it. That's what I defend. I don't love it. I'm making a defense of the reason behind it. I didn't think it was cheap.
For a Reds team that their season is over, it's not like there were a bunch of Reds fans in attendance last night.
All you're making an argument on is the way you think things should be instead of the way things are. I'm giving you the way things are.
Should I be making an argument for the way Ken Carman thinks it should be?
Why?
Who else am I supposed to make an argument for?
Well, I'm just pointing out that I think your argument is
I understand you
not
don't
very
agree,
good.
Or else you wouldn't be arguing with me.
Well, clearly.
This is the segment
Thank
of
you very
arguments.
Much for bringing it right down to its bare bones.
I appreciate that.
Very good.
All I'm saying is we can't act like our whole lives. That has not been the coward's way out. But today, Ken Carman seems happy that it was broken up by a bunt.
I'm not happy. I'm happy that the Guardians still won the game. I'm happy that Jose Ramirez
like
hit
even
a
know.
Home run of consequence later on. I'm happy that he's two away now from 40 in a 40-40 season, right? Two home runs away now?
Yep.
From a 40-40 year, and he's got a series to do it. Oh, man, you got to get over to the Guardians game this weekend here and watch that chance. That's what I'm happy about. I'm not happy about this. And also, it wasn't a history type of thing. It would have been a footnote, yes.
Well, that is
but
a
it
question.
Wasn't Len Barker. It was the day that five or six or whatever Guardians pitchers came together and threw a perfect game.
Nothing's ever going to be Len Barker, but I do wonder if fans even care anymore about no-hitters in general.
I think they do.
If obviously those fans did care. Those fans that were watching that were disgusted and were booing, Matt Underwood cared. But I do wonder the combined no-hitter compared to just one player, which seems like a thing of the past, a relic from another era.
Boil down the rice. You thought it was cheap. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. It was 100% cheap.
Do you agree with Tone? 216-474-0092. After we're done taking our personal shots at each other, did you think it was cheap? I don't. I thought they were trying to get back into the ballgame as 2-0. 216-474-0092. Lima says they should just lay down because they were beaten already in the game and they should have no pride. I'm not getting your words wrong, right? Just to make sure before we go to break. Got it all right.
Yeah. Okay, good. It was cowardly way out.
Okay. Calls them cowards. I had a guy who I worked in with baseball in when I was doing play-by-play back in the day. I'm not going to say his name.
Give his initials.
He's a good man. LF told me a very interesting story about the day Cal Ripken broke that streak. A very, very interesting story. And why the power went out. And I really can't get any further into it because it may start to go into libel or slander.
Perfect. Perfect for the show.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on.
We have a track record, but still no.
You know where it is perfect? Over on the podcast.
What are you doing eating deer sausage while we're doing?
I can't help it.
Ray,
all good.
Engineer Ray stepped up.
Tremendous engineer brought in deer smokies.
Oh, yeah.
Which that's going to be an FML at some point because I fed Axel deer and he didn't know he ate deer and he still doesn't know he ate deer. 216-474-0092. Should the Reds have laid down a buck last night to break up that perfect game? Was it cheap? I thought they were playing to win the game. Lima said, oh, it's cheap. It's cowardly. He called the Reds cowards.
I would have been so annoyed, too, if I was there.
He ain't the only person that's ever called Reds cowards.
I would like to get in on this now.
Yes.
I agree with you totally, Lima, that it was cheap. However, your last segment's argument, I could not agree with the crux of the argument. I think it's the cheapest thing. If my team was in that situation, absolutely take the cheap way out. We are not getting no hit or perfect gamed.
Boy, psychologically, you think about how humiliated
especially if
the Reds
they had won. If the Reds had won the Ohio Cup and they had clinched all the bye and we were eliminated and they wrote their river's on fire or whatever on their t-shirt, on their AI-generated post that the team is putting out. Hell yes, take the cheap way.
Yeah, when you think about how annoyed Cincinnati must feel about us right now, I mean, pour it over to football. I mean, take it over to football. Did you see what Browns fans have been saying? I mean, we are in a bad spot right now. That did not stop Browns fans on social media for going after the 0-3 Bengals.
Well, of course not. Why wouldn't they? And somebody brought up, they go, does Deshaun Watson has to change his facial hair three times in a game for you to go off on him? And I said it would help. And I thought, I did take a swipe at Rapine yesterday when I was talking about, it was like amazing. He walked in like he was Iceberg Slim when he was in this league. Now he looks like Cody Rhodes. What's the next great look of Joe Burrow? What are we doing next? And I go, hey, you know, these are things that what we attach ourselves to. And I said, that meltdown after that Broncos game was later in the season. It wasn't this early.
No, I have a theory about that. I'm going to save that for tomorrow because we got to get to the calls
here. Well, we don't have I have a theory tomorrow. We have coming in hot.
I've got a theory why you went off on Baker to the degree that you did, but you haven't done that on Deshaun Watson.
I want to know that right now.
We'll do that after these calls.
I want to know that after Mitch, please. Bunning. Can you do it after Mitch, please?
I wrote it down.
All right, Ray in Akron. Ray, hello.
Ken, I have no idea how you can sit across from Lima, look him dead in the eyes, and say that there was 20.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
25,000 people in that stadium. Anthony Lima, of all people, can determine attendance in the city of Cleveland.
Okay? Very true.
It's my calling card.
Damn it, that's true.
That is very true.
Ah, hell. All right, fine.
Yeah, it was a coward way to button the way out. So,
if it were the Guardians, on the other hand, would you have wanted to do it? Oh, he hung up. 216-474-0092. Tom and Brick Park, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm better than I was yesterday. Go ahead, Tom.
I don't think it was cheap at all. These are professional athletes. They're trying to win a ball game.
Thank you.
I mean, they ended up tying the score up as a result eventually.
Thank you. I mean, he's trying to get back into the ball game there. They're professionals. They're supposed to have egos. They're supposed to have pride. And they did what was necessary. And, yeah, I mean, you can call it cheap, but it wasn't like it was 7-0. It was just done to wreck the perfect game. They were trying. And, Todd, thank you for the call. I totally agree with you. They were trying to get back into the ball game.
Can I make a comparison?
Yeah.
Browns lost on Sunday, right, by a touchdown.
I remember.
Say the Browns had the ball, final drive. They're driving down. Time has expired. Amari Cooper catches one and throws it across the field, and we get a touchdown from Jerry Jeudy because Amari did the whole fumble rooski, let's get rid of the ball. Would you call it cheap?
No.
Because it's the same thing to me.
But the Browns weren't really chasing history, though.
So you're this is interesting here because I remember one time.
So you're just supposed to let history happen to you? If you're sitting in the middle of a potential historical moment.
Hold on, though. I remember there was a Miami-Nebraska national championship game where Nebraska did the fumble rooski.
Yeah.
Literally the fumble rooski.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, man, if they're going to do those cheap plays, and like the word cheap is thrown out there. I don't think Tom Osborne was going to apologize if they won that football game. It's up to you. But football to me, see, this is the difference, though, Owen. Football is like no holds barred, do whatever you can to win. Baseball, what Lima is arguing is that baseball is supposed to be a gentleman's game that's played on
that
the up and up.
You're not supposed to do whatever you can to win.
That's what he's arguing. I'm not.
Well, I agree that it's cheap, and I would take the cheap road to not let history happen.
Owen, I think the difference in this case, like football, there's 17 games. Part of football is the almost, my God, we've had espionage now in football. Part of it is they think I'm going to do this, so I'm going to do this. And in this case, in baseball, like, yeah, you could drop a bunt at any time when the third base or the first baseman is way back and you feel like you've got an advantage. The thing here is the Red season is over. Their wins and losses don't matter at this point. And you have a chance for Cleveland sports history to try to get something that the fans have not seen in their lifetime.
But that's where we go in circles because it still wouldn't have been what they see in their lifetime because it was the fifth pitcher that they used that day. That's not history. That's a novelty. It's a footnote, but it's not Len Barker. If Tanner Bibee was out there and doing what Len Barker did, I might feel a little bit different. If it were 8-0 and they went out there, then you're just out there to wreck a no-hitter. That's all you're doing. Or a perfect game. That's all you're doing. It was 2-0. They had a guy who can steal bases on, who does have wheels. That guy went out there to try to get on base, to tie this game up, or to get a run later because it's getting a little bit later in the game. That I have to understand and understand the logic behind it. If the score was out of hand, I'd be probably red-faced and upset maybe. But I don't know if I'd be red-faced, but I'd be pretty upset by it. And I think it was cheap. I don't think that this was cheap. Patty in Westlake, hello.
Hey, so when do you decide to quit? When is it okay, Anthony, for the other team to quit?
When the manager gets fired.
I mean, he did get fired before
great.
That.
Yeah. So you just let people win. I don't know. I'm not a guy, so I'm not a pitcher. I didn't play baseball.
Well, that doesn't matter if you're a guy or not.
So I can't put myself in the mindset of, you know, all you athletes out there. But so as a pitcher,
neither can you, I.
Are you happy that the other team lets you achieve that? So if Jose needs his 40th home run on Sunday afternoon, is he going to be really happy that, you know, the Houston Astros throw him a nice lob pitch?
Well, you'll have to ask Jim Thome. Jim Thome on 92.3 The Fan night about that.
Oh, they weren't grooving it for him. You think they grooved one in for him?
No comment.
I do think Chan Ho Park grooved one in for Cal Ripken, but that was the All-Star game. It didn't count. Go ahead, Patty.
Sorry, Patty.
Yeah, so I'm with you, Ken. It was a 2-0 game, but you just play. You play the baseball game, and if your lights out with your pitching and your defense, then you know get them out. Get them out,
Patty.
You know,
obviously, we are like-minded individuals, and we thank each other very much for each other's company. Thank you. 216-474-0092.
Yeah, part of it, I think that what I'm thinking in my head, and again, I wasn't there last night, and you could hear the disgust from everybody in attendance.
25,000 strong.
100,000 in attendance.
It's the Silver Dome.
When we think about what is so great about a no-hitter or a perfect game is it's mano a mano, right? And it's, my God, the pitcher, and in this case, there were five of them up to that point. Each and every at-bat, it's supposed to be this chess match, this one-on-one, this, hey, the catcher's back there. He's shaking off signs from the catcher, and he's getting it in there, and he's doing everything he can. He's battling these counts. You know, pitch, the hitters are fighting off these balls, and they're, oh, I was fooled on that one, but a broken bat, did it get through? And then all of a sudden, you have this leadoff guy prance up there with the bat, and he signals for the bunt, and he barely makes contact. And, ooh, it might have gone off my fingernail, and I got an ouchie, and I better run to first base.
The fingies. You got to call them fingies.
The fingies. And, oh, I'm going to run down and gallop my way to first base, and I broke it up, and no history for you.
It's not a Renaissance fair. It's a baseball game.
It just feels a little weird.
It doesn't feel weird at all. You made it weird, as you usually do. It wasn't weird. The Silver Dome. Yeah, Gorilla Monsoon was doing the head count yesterday. Dan and Brooke Park, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing? I just feel in that situation, you got to hit your way out of the no-hitter. You can't bunt. If you have something to play for, you know.
It was 2-0.
Yeah. No, but they have nothing to play for.
Who's already in the playoffs, but they're playing for their personal pride, egos, and statistics.
And it's the Reds. We have had a famous.
Like hit the way out of it is my feeling. But hey, with the Bengals, with Joe Burrow, have you guys seen what he's been wearing into the games?
I believe yesterday I referred to it as Ellen DeGeneres' wardrobe.
Yes, he is 0-3 since turning into a lesbian.
Okay, Dan.
Reckless speculation.
We can't keep that.
No.
Oh come
God,
on.
God, no.
I was going to say with the Reds, we have had a pretty famous instance of somebody. Actually, with the Reds and, you know, managing the Reds, playing for a lot every game, life or death.
That was a legend.
Yeah, a legend.
Faye Vincent worked him over on that deal. That wasn't altogether his fault. Don't get me started
so
on
maybe
that.
So maybe this game was more important to them than we realized.
Parker in Brooklyn, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. This is years ago, back when they were the Indians. We were against the Yankees, I can't remember the pitcher's name. He was the one-handed pitcher.
Jim Abbott,
yeah. He was throwing, it was either a no-hitter or a perfect game, and Kenny Lofton laid a bunt, like in the seventh or eighth inning, to get on base. So we've been there on the other side.
Well, he got a no-hitter against us. Jim Abbott did.
Right, but this was one where he didn't. He was on his way to. It was in Cleveland too, but Lofton laid down a bunt and got on. And they asked him afterwards, and he's like, "Of course, I'm going to try to lay the bunt to get on base."
Mitch is shaking his head.
Mitch has got some.
I'm just trying to make sure I got the facts right, because there was a bunt attempt during Abbott's no hitter back in '93 against the Indians that ended up hitting a rock and then bounced foul down the third baseline. Is that what you're thinking of?
That was at Yankee Stadium.
There was a rock in the infield at Yankee Stadium?
I guess so.
It was 93. People brought a lot of rocks there.
Yeah. That was bring a rock night.
Maybe I remember wrong. I'm an old man, but I thought Lofton had gotten on. But anyway, we tried to do that.
Well, strategically, like in the middle of the year, I think. You want to see if the guy can feel his position.
Thank you. Don Mattingly shook it out of his pant legs because he was in jail there.
There are certain things that get brought up why that would be even worse. Certain things. 216-474-0092. You throw out the number and you move on. That's how this whole thing operates.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys. Guardians catcher Austin Hedges made an appearance on the Chris Rose rotation this week, talking about Emmanuel Clase's dominance so far this season. Hedges with high praise for his battery mate, even comparing him favorably to a unanimous Hall of Famer.
Is he the best pitcher you have ever caught?
I think he's through this amount of time. He's the best pitcher ever. I think he's the best pitcher ever.
Hold on. In the history of the sport?
Yes. Through 200-ish innings, he's the best pitcher ever. I would love to compare the numbers. He's better than Mariano. If you need three outs, that guy, that's the best pitcher of all time to get three outs. He's got a long way to go to be the best of all time, right? Because longevity matters. But at 26 years old, with these numbers and that many innings, I mean, we're talking about he needs a few more saves, got to beat Helsley. If he does, that's 3 years in a row leading all of MLB in saves, which has never been done before. I mean, this guy added a new pitch essentially this year to shape his cutter even more to the bottom of the zone at 101. So yes, I would hold firmly to that he is the best pitcher of all time through this amount of time.
Tough talking Austin Hedges. Tough.
Man, you know what? I love the fact that he – great clip. I love the fact that he's like, now, yeah, he has to do it over a period of time. I remember when I'll give a basketball example. Luka came out in the league his first 2 years. His stats were offensively, I think, were better than LeBron. And so you couldn't say Luka was like, oh, he's better than LeBron. No, you can't say that. But you could say, all right, through the first few years, and if he continues doing that – for another 20 years, okay, maybe you've got a point. So obviously, it's a closer role. It's always tough to compare the closers to the starters in baseball. I mean, that's what we're doing with the Cy Young stuff, and it looks like he has no shot to win the Cy Young now. Looks like it's going to be Skubal. But this has been nothing short of dominant, and this is not the first year he's been dominant. And that's why it was so surprising. This is how you know he's spectacular and he's special. We were all like, what? Bases are loaded yesterday? Like, what? That doesn't happen. So that's how you know he's special. Because even the slightest miscue or mistake, it catches your eye.
That's true. No, that's true. It was, it's been a, when closers are incredible, it's something about it where you easily take them for granted. And I've taken good, real good closers for granted, like dominating closers. And we've had some over the time, like Bob Wickman. It was always like, "Would smoke him if you got him." Joe Borowski was good for like a hot minute. Mesa, and then obviously things happened differently. You've had Chris Perez until the wheels fell off. Like there were guys who were really, really good. Vinny Pistano, other guy. I just keep mentioning names. I'm sorry. There's been guys there who have. Once they're really, really at the top of their level, you start to take them for granted. And again, you brought up that bases were loaded. I think people don't even think about that because they take him for granted in certain aspects. Like, this is going to happen. And, you know, last year, because the season was so weird, like, I always brought up, like, well, I'm a little bit nervous because he led the league in saves, but he also led the league in blown saves. Well, it's been different this year.
Yeah, shaky moments.
Yeah, it's been different this year because the offense has been better, but he's as locked in as it gets. And he's one of the reasons why it's easy to listen to Mad Dog Russo last Friday and go, well, this guy knows baseball. He's not a homer. I know he has the voice that would sound like a Yankee fan. He's not a Yankee fan. And because of the history that he has with the game, it's easy to start to go, man, I don't know if we do have a real shot. But then you see some of the stuff that goes on and go, yeah, I think we got some there. The bullpen's good. We get days off in between. The starting rotation has gotten better. It's one game back for Stephen Kwan, but he goes 2-for-4 and hits a home run. So there's... You get so excited about the possibilities of the future. You get very excited about the possibilities in the postseason.
I mean, he is...
What is...
For the type of season he's having, he is criminally underpaid. You know, he's up for arbitration, right?
That's not me bringing that up.
Well, no, I just wonder, like, Edwin Diaz this year is the highest paid reliever in baseball at $19.7 million. Josh Hader's at $19 million. Kenley Jansen's at $16 million. So, what is this worth? What kind of money are we looking at
Hell
for
of a
somebody
lot.
Like him?
Hell of a lot. All right, what one of your comparison, or not comparison maybe, but reason why? Because somebody had asked me, why does it take Deshaun Watson? Or does this is what he says. Did Deshaun Watson have to change his hairstyle 3 times, his facial hair 3 times during a game for you to have a meltdown about him? Or is that just Baker? And I said, well, it would help. But my reasoning for it was I didn't guarantee a victory before that game. And it's still early. It's not preseason. It's not preseason. And there's a lot of things that concern me right now. But it hasn't gotten to that level yet.
Yeah. And I wrote it down because, and you could correct me if I'm wrong on any
All right,
of this.
Let's hear it.
But I've heard how you've talked about Deshaun Watson. You've said he's never going to be that guy that he used to be. I feel like in a way... How like a child, like a kid of yours that you would fight for. You get angry when they make their mistakes. You get angry because they have potential, because they're not realizing their potential, and it's killing you. You're seeing it. You're seeing it go by the wayside with Baker right before your eyes.
This is going to be a bad way to end the show. You're not going to like my answer to this.
I feel like you've already given up on Deshaun Watson. You've given up, he's not worth getting angry over anymore.
I cling to faith. That year, that Baker was going to be a top-end quarterback. I no longer cling to faith on Deshaun Watson. I've given up on him being elite. I've given up on him being a top five quarterback. Go ahead and record it. I think that he can still be an above average quarterback. That's where I'm at. So it does play into my psyche of why should I sit here and scream and yell on a Thursday? Why would I sit here and scream and yell? I have a very bad feeling there will come a Monday sooner than later this year where I'm going to say a lot of very angry things.
I think that Denver game.
I'm getting a sneaking suspicion.
You still held out hope for Baker, and that's why you were so frustrated. That's why you had an all-time international-style meltdown on what happened with him. And you don't have the energy for someone who you don't truly believe that is there for. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are in the same boat right now with Deshaun Watson. Be nice to be surprised. Be nice if he snaps out of it. It's been a long time now.
That was 2019 I did that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not guaranteeing any victories. I've grown. Gotten a little older, wiser. In the words of Brandon Weeden.
And then what happened the next year with Baker?
He did better. And I thought he was letting, quote-unquote, letting me down. Didn't need to let me down. I felt like he was letting us down. I felt that he was overrating himself. And I felt that he was capable of so much more. This guy, I don't think he's capable of greatness. I think he's capable of above averageness. And we need to get that out of him. And if he goes out there and he surprises me, then I'll raise the ceiling. That's what coaches do. They have to raise limitations. And so they have to raise his.